Isaiah 43, I want you to look again with me, noticing a very familiar expression here in the realm of promise and prophecy. Verse 18 says, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old." The three words that I want us to consider today, you'll notice, are the words, "the former things." And yes, they are, I think, very familiar to us, including across the page. You'll notice in chapter 42, in verse 9, "Behold," he says, "the former things are come to pass." Now, of course, this is, all of it is a messianic prophecy, a prophecy about the coming of Christ. It is therefore all a part of the unfolding plan of God's redemption, which finds its fulfillment, as you know, all the way at the end of Revelation, where it says in Revelation 21 and verse 4, you'll notice the last line, "the former things." The former things are passed away. In the very next verse in Revelation, it says, "Behold, I make all things new." Chapter 42, notice again, if you would, verse 9. "Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." Again, our text in chapter 43, verse 18. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, here it is, I will do a new thing. Now, wait a minute. This passage is all promise and prophecy. The former things are come to pass. Remember not the former things. The former things are passed away. Folks, there's a lot of truth, a lot of wonder and glory and revelation and power in the message of God in these three words, and I hope you'll open your heart to them. To that end, let's pray together, shall we? Father, please help us to do so. I ask, dear God, that any distraction, anything between us and you, please help us cast it aside. May we focus our minds and our hearts on what your Spirit has to say. Please speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. The people of God in the book of Isaiah were in a really bad place, and for a lot of reasons. For one thing, the old covenant was starting to feel really, really old, mostly because of their constant failure, their rebellion, their faithlessness in that covenant. The other factor in Isaiah is that soon they would be experiencing the judgment and consequences of living with all of their idolatry and their greed. For these reasons, God promised his people that the former things, that the old things would be replaced one day with the new things. And of course, false witnesses and false prophets were arising up around Isaiah, denying this promise. That's the meaning of chapter 43 and verse 9. Look at it, would you? "Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth." In other words, they're saying, there's not going to be any new thing. There's nothing new that's coming that God's promising you through his man Isaiah. The deceiver said, 2 Peter 3:4, "Where is the promise of his coming? All things continue as they were since the beginning of creation." In other words, the devil says and hopes that everything is the former things, that the former thing is everything forever. But Isaiah's prophecy and God's promise finds its fulfillment again in the last book of the Bible, where it says the former things are passed away. You know, I've been asked a lot from younger preachers, preacher boys through the years, "Pastor, where do you get your sermon ideas? How do you come up with what to decide to preach, and how do you come up with your sermons?" And always I give them basically the same answer. I don't have any sermon ideas. I certainly don't come up with any ideas. What I actually do, honestly, is simply read the Bible, and specifically as I read, I stop and I meditate on what the Bible, listen to what it actually says from the Word of God. This is precisely what happened in recent days with these three words, "the former things." It is clearly one of God's favorite promises and expressions, and as I thought about it, something simple. As I meditated on it, something very simple, obvious, but powerful kept coming to my mind. It's the first point of today's message. Point number one, the former things are present things. And I want you to hear this carefully. John is shown the future. Actually, he's shown eternity. And what he sees and what he hears is that the former things are passed away. Well, what's the former things? What are these things? What are the things that are going to pass away? Very simple. All the present things. Like that phone, for example. All of the vanities. All of the various things that surround us right now in our world. Now, hear this carefully. The moment... Go ahead, Danny. I won't tell you whose phone that is, but his initials are Danny Hester. Anyway. The moment that simple and obvious truth, that the former things are present things, the moment that passed into my head, I was literally driving down US 1 in a brand new 2022, 10 miles on the odometer, Toyota Highlander. The new car smell, it was strong. The seats in the carpet, fresh. That middle console had nothing in it at all. And as I drove along in all of that newness, you know what I thought to myself? I thought, this car is a former thing. When I turned onto PGA Boulevard, I noticed to my right near Military Trail, the new FP&L building. And when I say new, I mean it's so new, it's not even finished as yet. $75 million, Category 5 hurricane proof, renewable energy wonder, 500-year flood proof, helicopter landing site, weird futuristic glass building, look like it's going to fall over. Absolutely. The pride and the joy of engineers and architects and designers and contractors. And I looked at it as I was driving, and before it's ever gotten to its ribbon-cutting ceremony, I pointed to it, and I thought to myself, there is a former thing. What John saw in Revelation 21 are former things. They don't exist. And what he saw, beloved, are our present things. And here's what that told me. All of the present things, all of them, aren't so impressive after all. You know, tonight's Super Bowl is going to be played at the new SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, California. Seats 100,000. Took 5 years to build. It's on 300 acres. It cost $6 billion. You don't think our country worships sports? It cost $6 billion. Three-quarters of that stadium, three-quarters of the NFL's newest glittering shrine is underground. The outside roof is a giant LED screen that aims outward and it airs live TV to passing airplanes. The massive sides open up and they move depending on the direction of the breeze to cool the people off. The hanging indoor screen is larger than the actual football field. That's SoFi Stadium, which John called, even 2,000 years ago, a former thing. It's just a former thing, which the Bible says are all passed away. God sees everything from eternity. Are passed away. Do you know he wants us to see everything from eternity? And of course, beloved, since that's the case, if your house is a former thing, and your brand new Mac is a former thing, and your car is a former thing, as is everything else in this world, why? Why would we grip that thing so tightly? Why would we drive our tent pegs deep, deep down into this world? You know, I was talking with Robert yesterday, Robert who's out there smoking and grilling lots and lots of meat. He was telling me about how experienced hunters go glassing. Now, the reason it's called glassing is because with either binoculars or maybe a spotting scope, the hunter or the guide goes up to a spot and stalk position, and they do that so that they can observe and they can look for animals off in the distance. And he said to me, he said, you know, Pastor, inexperienced guides think that it's important to change perspective by moving from one spot. The glasser moves from one spot to another spot several hundred feet or even yards away. You have to really move around to some people in order to get a better view. But experienced glassers, he said, they know that you really only have to change your perspective a little. That if you just move from here and a few feet over there, you get an entirely different perspective of that mountain or that hill in the distance, the terrain, the foliage, the rocks. It's a completely different look from just over here, just a little change in perspective. Can I ask you a question? Do you realize this morning that the Word of God has given to us and was given to us so that as God's people, changing our point of view just a little closer to the truth, we had an entirely different perspective on things, on life, on troubles, on trials, on stuff. You see the last line of chapter 42 and verse 9? It says, before they spring forth, I tell you of them. God says, before these things are happening, I'm telling you about them. And you want to know why? You know what that is? That is the omniscient, all-knowing God moving us over here so we really see what is worthy and what's not worthy of all of our devotion. The only question for us is, do we really believe him? He gives us the perspective. Do we trust it? That text in Revelation, God says, John, write this down. For these words are faithful and true. John became the greatest glasser in all of history because God told him where to stand. And he's telling us where to stand so that from that perspective, your career, honestly, it's a former thing. Your portfolio, your title, your trophy, your diploma. I have a doctor's degree somewhere buried in my stash. It's not even out anymore. That too, from heaven's perspective, is a former thing. So look, folks, you want to be faithful? You want to be joyful? You want to be courageous? You want to be kind to other people and not short? Loosen the grip. Refocus your heart. Calm your spirit. Set your affections on things above. You know, I mentioned the Super Bowl. There was a player when I was in high school who I followed in the newspaper, in the sports page, because he played cornerback and he was a punt returner, and that was my position, my favorite position. This man's name was Jackie Wallace. He played in two Super Bowls, one with the Minnesota Vikings and the other one with the St. Louis the LA Rams. You know what that means? That means that he has two Super Bowl rings. In 1977, he led the league in punt returns and punt return yardage. He doesn't have those rings anymore. He sold them both to support a drug and alcohol addiction. In and out of jail, he has been found more than once homeless, living under a bridge. Now, folks, listen carefully. In a few hours, some of the richest, most idolized, physically fit, gifted men on earth are going to give every ounce of their energy and their strength to win one Super Bowl ring. Now, they're all going to get a ring, both sides, but only one side gets the glory of having world champion engraved on it. But do you realize that in the end, now again, the whole world's going to be watching, and they're going to give every ounce of their talent and energy. They've worked their entire lives for that one ring. But do you realize that it'll be no different than Jackie Wallace's rings wherever they are today? Because all the former things are passed away. All the former things are passed away. Which leads us, beloved, to the second truth in the text, and it's just as simple and just as obvious. We see, number one, the former things are present things. What John saw as the former things that are all going to be passed away, that's what I'm wearing today. They're all passed away. The second thing you'll notice, number two, present things will be former things. Say, wait a minute, Pastor, that's the same thing. You're just repeating it backwards. Well, that's true, except that we've glassed a few feet over, and thus it gives us a whole nother perspective. Chapter 43, look at verse 18 again. Remember ye not the former things. Can I ask you a question? Where does that sound familiar? Remember not the former things. Well, Isaiah. Later on in this book, in chapter 65 and verse 17, he says this, behold, God says, behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. In other words, look, not only are former things our present things, one day these present things will be former things. All right, let's put it this way. When God says in Revelation 21:4, and you can see it up there, right? The former things are passed away. What he was emphasizing were all the things just before that in the same verse. See it? Tears, death, sorrow, crying, pain. Sally, I saw you weeping at the beginning of the service, and I know why you're weeping. And so all of these things, these are all present things. I wept last night. These are all present things that will not exist anymore. These are our present things, you see them all, that one day will completely be passed away. You know what's funny? We hear these businesses and organizations talk about their 5-year plan, their 10-year plan. Motivational speakers say, what's your 7-year plan for your life, for your family? Here's a question. What's your 100-year plan? I'm going to ask you right now, what is your, if you're watching wherever you are, what is your 100-year plan? Can I just remind every single believer in this room that our 100-year plan starts with this? 100 years from now, we'll all be alive, glorified in Jesus' presence. I have a 100-year plan. And it's all good. And all of the sadness and all of the sorrows, 100 years from now, it's all in my plan. It's passed away because I didn't write the plan. He did. They're all former things. It's with that truth and eternal perspective that Paul could look at a life, a ministry filled with whippings and shipwrecks and abandonment and being stoned. He could look at all the time he spent in deprivation and poverty and jail. And he looked at those trials and afflictions, and you know what he called them? Quote, a light thing which is but for a moment. His entire life of affliction since coming to Christ was a light thing which is but for a moment. I remember there was this godly, aged lady who suffered all of her life with physical maladies, and she never complained. There are people in this room like that. She never complained. People would see her and say, are you okay? And she'd say, nothing that the resurrection won't cure. You know, that text in Isaiah, which says, the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. People often wonder, and you have, I'm sure. They wonder if we'll have our minds sort of erased, our memory purged from all of these present things. But folks, we know that's not entirely true. We're going to see the wounds of Christ for eternity, and we'll know why those wounds are there. The Bible says in Revelation, we're going to sing songs of redemption, being redeemed from Satan and sin and redeemed by the blood of Christ. So, yeah, our minds are not erased. We don't get some kind of neuralizer, amnesia. In some ways, I think it's like the former things having been passed away. Simply fade into insignificance. Do you think that SoFi Stadium will come into your mind when you're in the holy city of God? Oh, remember that? No. I can almost imagine people standing around after 1,000 years of glory in heaven saying, remember back when there was pain and sickness? I forgot what that was like. Remember there was a time? Remember death and sorrow and temptation? Yeah, not really. That was another world. The present things will be former things. And I'm telling you this morning that God has given us this promise so that by faith, our entire perspective on present things changes. From heartache to hope. From fear to faith. From gripping tightly to not gripping at all. You say, but Pastor, he's trying to take my money. So, does that ruin your 100-year plan? Does it affect your 100-year plan? But $50 is $50. Yeah, I'm reminded of the story of Ed and his wife, Norma. Every year, they would go to the state fair, and every year, Norma would say, Ed, let's ride that helicopter. I just want to try it one time. And every time, Ed would say, I know, Norma, but that helicopter ride is $50, and $50 is $50. One year, Ed and Norma went to the fair, and Norma said, Ed, I'm 75 years old. If I don't ride that thing this year, I may never get another chance. And Ed replied, Norma, that helicopter ride is $50, and $50 is $50. The pilot who had overheard this couple for years, he spoke up and he said, I tell you what, I'll give you both a ride. And if you can keep quiet, don't say a single word, the entire time I won't charge you a dime. And Ed agreed. So up they go. And the pilot did all of his tricks, this and that. He went upside down and sideways, and his maneuvers, his daredevil. But they never said a word. Not a single word. And as they were landing, the pilot yelled out, I'm impressed. I did everything I could to get you to be afraid and to yell, and you didn't do it. And Norma said, well, to be honest, I almost said something back there when Ed fell out. But, she said, but $50 is $50. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying let her ride the helicopter, for crying out loud. Actually, what we're really saying, in fact, what God is saying in His Word, is get some godly perspective. Stop getting, you know, there's a word and a worldview. You've heard of the word secular. The Latin word seculum means this time, this present time. The word secular means this world, this present world. It's a perfectly good word, but not if you add that suffix ism, secularism. Because secularism becomes a folly, a destructive, dangerous philosophy, primarily because it's a lie. We do not live for former things. We are not called to former things. It brings us to a third and a final truth this morning. We said, number one, the former things are present things. Number two, the present things will be former things. They'll be gone. But number three, the former things will remain former things forever. You notice the last two words in Revelation 21:4, passed away. And then to put a great big exclamation point on that, two verses later in verse 6, Jesus says these words, it is done. It is done. The former things are passed away, and then he says, it is done. Now, wait a minute. Do you remember when Jesus was hanging on the cross? And he cried out those words, it is finished. He didn't say on the cross, it is done. It wasn't done. What was finished was the atonement. What was finished was the sacrificial giving of his blood for sins. But God's salvation was not done. Not yet. But it will be. And when it's done, the former things are passed away. Many, many years ago, I taught a series on the glories and the wonders and the truths of heaven. And we went through week after week looking at what the Bible has to say about our eternal home. And it's interesting what God reveals and doesn't reveal about heaven. And we went through this week after week, and then finally we came to the last final message, and I prayed about it, and I prayed about it, and I studied, and I asked the Lord, what should I and us, all of us as God people, glean from your word about heaven? And the last one I titled, The Greatest Thing About Heaven. That was the title. Do you know what the greatest thing about heaven is? The greatest, most important, wonderful thing about heaven, by far, is that it's eternal. I mean, so what if it's a billion years? So what if it's a trillion years and then it's over? Because, folks, if it ends and the former things of death and sorrow and sin return to us, that's still a countdown. Heaven wouldn't even be heaven. It is no comfort, and God knows that better than all of us. So it's He that reveals this truth. It is He that shows us in His Word. It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning. It is done. The former things are passed away. Do you notice that John doesn't write in the first century, the former things will be passed away? It's because he wasn't looking at the first century. He wasn't looking at the 21st century. He was looking at eternity and how it's going to be forever and ever and ever. And eternity is more real than this pulpit itself, because this pulpit one day will burn in the fire. And the Bible says that in glory, when every tear is wiped away, it is done. It's over. No more crying. No more sorrow. No more pain. It is all passed away. I was sitting in the doctor's office not long ago, recently. I noticed an article about stress and anxiety, so I thought I'd read it, see what this psychologist or whoever has to say about it. And as I read it, it was fascinating to me because it said that anxiety is caused by focusing on things that you cannot change but bother you. And I remember reading that, and I thought to myself, who in the world would do that? Who would think about and focus and obsess over things that bother them but they can't change? I mean, that is a recipe for going cuckoo. That's a recipe for anxiety. Deliberately thinking about, focusing on, reading about, studying, dwelling on, pointing to things that you don't like but you cannot change. No wonder they're a nervous wreck and anxious and miserable. And scared. That's secularism. What we as Christians are called to do is focus on the things that bless us from the God who never changes. You can think about anything you want this morning. You can think about what brother so-and-so here is doing or not doing, and that annoys the fire out of you. You can think about your boss and how mad you are. You can think about how you don't get as much money as your neighbor across the street. You don't have as nice house. You can think about anything you want. But we're called to think about the blessings of God that are eternal. How do I know that? Lord, even the demons are subject to us. They went out and, man, we got power. Jesus said, don't rejoice in that. Don't think about that. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That will never change. Your name written in glory. Can I ask you a question? What is it, or who is it, that has you all bent out of shape? What present thing that one day is going to be a former thing that has you all upset? Ruins your day, ruins your week, ruins your month, ruins your testimony, ruins your faith, ruins your health. What is it? $50 is $50. Exactly. It's $50. What is it that has your eyes off of, set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth? Father in heaven, bless now the invitation. Lord, thank you for showing us that all the way back in Isaiah, you gave your prophet to your people to speak of the former things, that way back in Isaiah you prophesied the very truths that John would see in the book of Revelation. that all the former things will be passed away, and that you will make all things new, and you're making things new, new creatures, new creations in Christ Jesus. May we focus our heart and minds on these things, Lord, so that we can live victorious lives, lives of faith and courage, joy, boldness, and do so no matter what our society does. In Jesus' name, amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.